few days, but I'm praying very much for the both of them. Ephesians chapter 6, and we come once again to this thought that we are in a spiritual war, in a battle, in a warfare. We come to a very important word today. It is a word specifically designed for the child of God. It's a very important word for the day-to-day combat that we find ourselves in. It's an important word for the battle that rages in your own mind. Really, it's an important word for all of life. And it's the little word, stand. Stand. Four times in a matter of 3 or 4 verses, this word is found. Verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. Four times. Stand. If there's one word I want you to leave today remembering, it is that word. Stand. I think after a fourfold emphasis from the Apostle Paul, I think it's worth our attention. If he writes it once, if God gives it to us once, it's important to attend to. But if it's given four times in one passage, it's something that is extremely important. Now, who would have ever thought that we would need such a command? Who would have ever thought that we would need somebody to tell us to stand up? As something as simple as just standing. I mean, how hard could it be to just stand? Well, let's take a little bit of a poll here this morning. How many of you know that this one thing is often very difficult to do as a Christian? Would you raise your hand? Yes. And therefore it's given unto us, stand. This is one of the great calls that comes to every child of God. This is not just a call to the ministers, to the deacons. This is a call to every child of God. Every Christian must stand. And they must stand for Christ. Now my question this morning before we go any further is, are you standing? Are you standing for Jesus Christ? The more you read the New Testament, the more you begin to recognize there is this kind of military terminology found all through the pages. Old Testament and especially the New Testament and an allegory. The way that we live, the way that we fight as Christians is like an army. We're called to be good soldiers. We're called to keep rank. We're called to put on armor. Over and over, this kind of terminology is used in the New Testament. But in reading the New Testament, you also find something extremely encouraging. You and I are not just called to be a part of an army. We're called to be victors in the fight. You are called to be a conquering one. And not just a conquering one, Paul says, more than conquerors. That's your calling. That's not just to the leaders, that's to every Christian. You are called by the grace of God to be an overcomer. You might be thinking this morning, well, I can barely breathe. I can barely roll myself out of bed. I have a hard enough time just coming to the meetings. I have a hard time picking up the Bible to read it. I can't stand at all. Somebody else needs to stand for me, but the truth is nobody else can. Why is it so rare that we find ourselves standing in any significant way? It always amazes me how before we were Christians, we had no problem standing up for certain things. We stood up for our favorite football team, or we got excited about our favorite boxer, or we stood up about this, and stood up for this right, and stood up for this liberty and freedom. But how come the moment we become a Christian, we sort of lose that ability and zeal to stand for Christ? I think it has a great deal to do. The reason so many are not conquering and victorious in the Christian life today, I think the reason we see so little of that has to do with this one little word. We're just not standing. But let's look at it together briefly this morning. I want you to see, first of all, I want to encourage you, according to God's word, verse number 11, look at it. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. Let me encourage you. Would you look this way for a moment? You are able to stand.
Amen.
It's a lie from Satan to tell you that you can't do it. It's a lie from the enemy that says you can't walk this Christian walk. You can't live like that. You can't do it. Look at you. You keep messing up day after day. You're never going to make it. That's a lie. You are able. God has given you everything you need to stand. One of the reasons so many Christians live lives of defeat is because they just don't believe that they can stand. They don't believe it. But you are, according to the authority of God's word, you are able. God himself has given you all you need to stand. I think the first, oftentimes in a Christian world, the first sign of conflict causes many believers to despair. First time we get bad news from the doctors. Ooh. First time something happens in politics. Ooh. First time our bank account runs dry. Anytime any sort of opposition or conflict, our knees go wobbly. Why? Because we don't think we can handle it. We don't believe that we can stand. But remember, verse number 10, we looked at it several weeks ago. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We can stand not because we're strong, but because He is. And we stand in Him. Be strong in the Lord, and the scriptures say, in the power of His might. I have no strength of my own, and neither do you. But there is nobody as strong as God Almighty Himself. And we stand in Him. And therefore we are able to make such a stand. You, yes, you can stand. But can I just say, the moment you let unbelief take over the control center of your mind, you're already sitting. The moment you give place to unbelief and doubt, you're defeated. You're not standing anymore. And that's where the battle lies. Being able to recognize that I can stand, believing that I can stand because of what God's word tells me, but because of what God's spirit has given me, believing it rather than listening to the lies of the enemy that says that we can't. I think one of the dangers in this battle is that we sometimes feel sorry for ourselves. You ever been there before? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody has the problems like I have. Oh, it's terrible. Here we go again. And we often feel sorry for ourselves. That's a bad place to be. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse number 12, he tells us very plainly, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is sent to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't be shocked when the battle rages. Don't be surprised when temptation comes. Don't be blown away and knocked down because you find yourself in a tight spot. Expect it. Expect opposition. In fact, I'd go as far as to say, if you don't have trouble and tribulation and opposition, something's bad wrong. It is our lot as the children of God to fight. And the moment you and I let self-pity in, the moment we start feeling sorry for ourselves, the moment you begin to lose strength. That's the moment you start thinking, I wish I had a husband who at least cared. I wish I had a wife that cared. I wish this. And the moment you start feeling sorry, you begin to lose strength. You're losing it before your very eyes. And then you begin to lose the will to fight because you don't think you can fight because you've lost strength. And then when you lose the will to fight, you begin to lose the will to live. And then you're paralyzed. And there are many people paralyzed, many Christians paralyzed today. Or they're walking about physically, spiritually paralyzed. Outwardly, they're putting on a good show, but inwardly, they're froze. They've lost the will to fight. Stop trying to avoid troubles and trials. and recognize that it is through those troubles and trials that we realize we are more than conquerors. 2 Timothy, Paul writes to a young minister. He says in verse number 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. There's an if there. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Everybody wants to reign with him. Nobody wants to suffer with him. That person says, give me the crown and give me the throne and give me power and authority. But not one person wants tragedy or difficulty. He goes on. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. There's an expectation of suffering in the Christian life. Philippians chapter 1, I think you know the verse in verse number 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's a gift. It is a gift. To go through trials and difficulties. Somebody lied to you and they told you that if you become a Christian that everything, all your troubles will go away. That's a lie. Somebody lied to you. Some fancy fellow on the television lied to you and they said, say this prayer after me and all your troubles will go away. Your bank account will fill up and all will be well. Somebody lied to you. Because it's given to you. Not just to believe. That's a gift. Faith is a beautiful gift. But it's not just the gift of faith given to the child of God, but it's also given to you, the scriptures say, to suffer for his sake. That's a gift. Somebody said, I didn't ask for that gift. But it comes. Acts 14, one of Paul's methods of planting churches, New Testament churches, was that he would go back and confirm them. And the Bible says in Acts 14, verse 22, he went back to some cities confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Paul understood something. It's not just about getting someone saved, but it's about preparing them for the battle that lies ahead. And he made sure they knew that trouble was coming. And in light of all of that, we're told you can stand. You are able to stand. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You can stand. Do you know fear is one of the most crippling darts of Satan? Fear is one of those darts that Satan loves to fire at a child of God, especially when a difficulty comes. What's going to happen? What could happen? Oh, how will I ever be able to face that? And you're thinking about something that hasn't happened and that more than likely is not going to happen. And you're worrying about so many things that could possibly potentially happen. And you're wasting your time in fear rather than living in faith. And therefore, your knees are wobbly and you're not standing. You say something like, I got to take a seat. Ooh. I gotta take a break. Things are getting a little bit too out of hand here. I gotta take a break. You're afraid. Fear. What would happen when David showed up there when his brothers were fighting the Philistines? And there they were encamped on one hill, the Philistines on the other. Here came big Goliath down into the valley, challenging the children of Israel. What was wrong with the children of Israel? They were afraid. And it took a 17-year-old boy. It took a 17-year-old teenager to say, hey, is there not a cause to stand? And fear kept them crippled sitting on the banks of the hill. And the majority of Christians today are crippled in fear sitting on the banks of the hill. Fear is one of those things that takes the knees right from out from underneath of you. The moment, the second that fear enters into your heart is the second that you begin to retreat. Do you know that retreat is a natural instinct to fear? You ever been approaching, maybe you started walking through the woods at night, or maybe you came to the edge of the woods at night, and you thought, ooh, I'm turning around here. That's a natural instinct when you're afraid and about face. In the second you let fear into your heart and your mind spiritually, when you hear the roar of Satan because he's walking about as a roaring lion, the second you let fear in is the moment you cease to stand the way you should stand. You get a little wobbly. Somebody once said, I haven't done the study myself, but somebody once said that the two words, fear not, are found 365 times in the Bible. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. 365 times, once for every day of the year. Tomorrow morning when you get up, fear not. The next day when you get up, but you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't, but fear not. Why should you be afraid? Is not our God good? Is not our God still on the throne? Is he not sovereign? So fear not. But oftentimes we let fear in. Oftentimes it's fear that renders us useless for his work. In that same passage in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 28, it says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Nothing. Do not let your enemies make you afraid. Let them talk to you all they want to talk to you. Let them whisper in your ear all they want to whisper. But in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Do not allow fear to enter into your mind. But how? That's one thing saying it, isn't it? One thing getting together and saying, don't be afraid now. And feeling good for a second, but when you walk out that door, the devil's waiting out there with all of his imps. It's easy to talk about it now. But how is it that we can stand without fear? Well, I think it goes back to what Paul led us into when he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Realize that your strength is in God. And is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything impossible for him? And if we can begin to realize that and be persuaded that it is true, that he indeed is strong, and that I'm standing in his might, and I can remind myself that I'm a part of his body, the which Christ Jesus is the head, and through which all power is bestowed, then what do I have to be afraid of? If I can remind myself that I am in Christ, and therefore any attack on me is an attack on Christ himself, and nothing can touch me except he allow it. And not only am I in Christ, but Christ is in me, the hope of glory. So all of his power resides inside. Be strong. Stand. I love the thought. Be strong in the Lord. You are strong because of Christ. Because he lives in you. Now, alone, you're weak. Alone, you're nothing. Without him, you are a sitting duck. But with him, you are strong. That, as George Whitefield said, invincible. I am invincible until my work on earth is done. I like that. That mentality. That I cannot be stopped until God is finished with me. It would do us all good to have that mentality. That I cannot be stopped. That Satan himself and all of hell cannot stop me until God is finished with me. What a mindset. In fact, that's exactly so. Oh, that's a little bit presumptuous, isn't it? 1 John chapter 5 helps us with that. 1 John 5 verse number 18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Amen. I like that. That wicked one toucheth him not. Satan cannot touch you. He can roar or he wants to roar. He can make all sorts of noise if he wants to, but he cannot touch you. Now back to our text. Stand because you are able to stand. But not only are you able to stand, but another interesting word in verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. It's a different word. It's a different word. It means you can stand against. You can resist. So there's one thing to just stand up. But sometimes that's all I got in me, is just to get up off my side and stand up. Sometimes it's all the strength I have is just to stand on my feet. But the Bible says you've got more strength. Not only can you stand and take your place in the ranks of the battle, but you can also withstand all the pressures of hell. Now that's a good sign, and that's a good promise for the child of God. You think, I can't stick this anymore? It's too much. You can. You can. You have been given all that you need to withstand. To resist, to stand against the pressure, to stand against the darkness. to stand against the temptation. Sometimes I spoke to several people this week and said, I just keep giving in over and over again. I can't help it. The temptation is too strong. No, that's a lie. You can withstand. You can. We're told it here in the Word. I love this thought. You're able, and therefore you should never give up. You should never give up. You and I cannot allow ourselves to ever be half-hearted in this fight. You will lose the second you only get half of your energy. The second you're double-minded about it. Oh, I think I can stand. Oh, maybe not. Come on. Nobody ever won a match like that. Nobody ever got a victory, a big win that way by being double-minded. The Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Are you double-minded this morning? One moment you think you can, the next moment you don't know if you can. You can't be half-hearted. You've got to have full commitment. You've got to be like D.L. Moody once said. He was challenged by it when he came to this country. Somebody said, are you an O&O Christian? He said, a what? Pardon me? An O&O Christian. An out-and-out Christian. Or are you riding the fence? One foot in the world, one foot in the church. If that's the case, you're not standing at all. This is not the kind of fight that you can flirt with the enemy one day and hold hands with the Savior the next. You can't do it. You're either all in or you're not. You're either standing firm or you're not. Some Christians want to come to church on Sunday, come to a meeting, say their prayers, sing the hymns, listen to the preaching, nod their head, walk out the doors, and then they want to go right back to living like the world the rest of the week and think and wonder why everything's so difficult. Stand. Stand against darkness. Stand against sin. Stand against the world. Don't give in. And there's no turning back. You've heard it so many times from the pulpit of this church, but in Luke chapter 9, our Savior told us very plainly and very clearly, and a lot of people don't like this verse. But the Lord Jesus, the last verse of Luke chapter 9, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. There is no retreat. Do you know there ought to be some words that you erase from your vocabulary? There ought to be some words that you remove. That's one of them. Retreat. Divorce is another one if you're married. No retreats. There is no back door in the Christian battle. I'm just going to slip out the back. No. There's no way out. Only forward. Such is the Christian walk and the Christian life that there is no retreat. There is no way out. There is no giving up. There is no giving in. There's no basement to hide in. No back door to escape from. No window up in the roof to try to be lifted out of. You've got to go forward. No retreats. Don't speak of retreat. Don't speak of looking back. Don't speak of giving up. Don't talk about it. Do not open your mouth and talk about it. Erase it. My wife and I, many years ago, we agreed together that divorce would never be an option in our marriage. And therefore, it's never talked about. No matter how upset she gets with me, and she never does, but if occasionally she does, never one time is that word even mentioned. It's not a word in our vocabulary. And so it should be in your marriage, and so should it be in your marriage to Christ. No divorce. No retreat. No looking back. If there is a back door, bolt it down, nail it shut, whatever you need to do, but you're not going that way. Now, how is it then that we can have that mindset in this standing for Christ, in this withstanding against the darkness that seems to be such pressure? And sometimes when darkness and the wickedness of this world presses upon us, we're looking for a way of escape because we don't think we can bear it. But you can. But how? Oh, I think we're given some instructions all through Scripture. But back to 1 Peter chapter 5 again. 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, be sober, be vigilant. I was reading Lloyd Jones on this early this morning, and Lloyd Jones was talking about how there is such thing as mental drunkenness. It's an interesting thought. We think of being sober, we think about not being drunk physically. But he said that there are many people who are mentally drunk. Well, just the same way that you might be physically drunk. You don't have any control. You don't know where you are. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're doing. There are many people mentally that way. And they're defeated. In their mind, it's a constant circle and cycle in the battle. In their own mind, they're defeated. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And they're stressing and they're fretting. Mentally drunk. And so Peter says, be sober. Be sober. And be vigilant, which means to keep wide awake. You want to make sure you never turn back and you're not looking for the back door and you're not looking behind your shoulder. Keep your eyes wide open. Over and over in the New Testament, watch. Watch, therefore. Watch and pray. Over and over in the New Testament. Be vigilant. It's the idea of a sentry, a guard on duty. Can you imagine if a guard fell asleep on duty and here came the enemy in through his post? Can I just say, would you look here for a moment? If you fall asleep, if you take your hands off the plow and you look for the back door exit, you not only hurt yourself, but you hurt the body. Because you've left your post. And there comes the enemy through your post, through your gap. So be sober. Be vigilant. Because we have a real adversary, don't we? Let me encourage you with one last thought and we'll close. Don't forget who you're fighting for. Don't forget who you're fighting with. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the captain of the guard. No, I love this thought because our God is not some God that sits up in an office in heaven somewhere and looks over his glasses occasionally to see what we're doing while he reads his newspaper. No, no, he's on the front lines himself. And if you can catch a glimpse of your Savior on the front lines himself, and that ought to cause you to stir, rise yourself. Many battles were won because there was a courageous captain that led the way. Well, our courageous captain is Jesus Christ. And there's never been someone as courageous as him. Or able as him. So the next time you start thinking about how unable you are, just look to him. Look to him. What a beautiful Savior we serve. Stand. Four times. Verse 11, stand. Put on the whole armor of God. We'll begin to look at that, God willing, in the weeks ahead. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. We've been given armor to stand. I love that. God's given you all you need. And he says in verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Again, he says it. That you may be able to withstand, stand against in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand. Now, some of you might be sitting today. Well, you're all sitting in your chair. Some of you might be sitting spiritually. Maybe you're even sleeping. It's time you got up. Take your place and stand. You need to. You must. Don't be afraid. You are able. Don't look back. Look ahead. May the grace of God help us. May we realize all that we need is found right here. And we'll look in the weeks ahead about this armor that he's given us. It's not some metal that we strap on. It's spiritual armor, protection that we've been given. And it is marvelous. Marvelous. You have what you need. Now, can I just say in closing, if I were to go into a battle today without any armor, without any weapon, I might have reason to be nervous. I might have reason to be fearful. And I think many believers are going into battle without any armor. And you know yourself that you're a sitting duck, a target on the lake, because you're not fully dressed. We're going to look at that in the weeks ahead. But you go ahead and study yourself. Look at it. Stand having your loins girt about with truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. You have everything you need. You can stand. May God cause a great army to be raised. Off of the sofas. Off of the beds. Stand up. Stand up, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. The tie is royal banner. It must not suffer loss. But it is suffering loss, isn't it? Every day you sit down, it's suffering loss. Every day the church is on the ground, it's suffering loss. Stand up. Stand up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us as thy body to stand. Lord, may it never be said that the head desired for the body to stand, but it wouldn't move. Help us, Lord, to stand up today. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us to believe with great faith that we can stand, that we shall not be defeated. Help us to believe with confidence that our enemy, Satan, is already defeated. May we refuse to listen to his lies. May we refuse to feel sorry for ourselves. And may we never turn back. Help us to keep our eyes on our great Savior. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. O Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast given unto us all things that we need. Help us to stand. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.